You would help us to be mindful of this part of your word, that you may apply it to our hearts, and more than that, that you will help us to be courageous to live out the things that we learned today. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a 7-year-old boy who was missing in a Chinese restaurant, and his family were frantically looking for him. After a few minutes of panic, the chef brought the boy back to his relief parents, but the chef is not happy. It appears that the little brat had taken the whole jar of fortune cookies and sat behind the counter and broke every single one of them until he was found by the chef. And when his parents asked the boy, "Why would you do such a thing?" he said, "I was looking for the cookie that said, 'I can have a pony.'" There are millions of adults today who are doing exactly what that little boy tried to do. Astrology is a multi-billion dollar industry today, as people seek to find a sneak preview of their future. You'd be amazed how many world leaders, presidents and prime ministers and movie stars employ clairvoyants and psychics just to get a head start on the opposition or to know what is in store for them. Recently, a journalist ran a story about the growing trend in Thailand amongst government officials who now seek mediums and clairvoyants instead of employing consultants. Well, see, back in the first century, there were just as many people who wanted to know what their future was to hold and who would pay handsomely for that. Everyone wants to know what their future holds. As we saw last week, Paul and his companions ended up in the city of Philippi, a city of 15,000 people, and yet spiritually barren. They couldn't even have one synagogue. Not 10 faithful men were found. And the Apostle Paul and his companions went to a place of prayer by the river, and there they met Lydia and a handful of women. And as we remember last week, Lydia, the Lord opened her heart and she responded to the gospel. Well, here they are a few days later, and they're going, making their way back and forth to this place of prayer. And every time they pass this unfortunate slave girl who is demon-possessed, she was hired out to tell the future for a price. And verse 16 tells us that she made a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. Now, friends, you and I know that no one can predict the future. Only he who can actually control the future can predict it. Only the Lord can. But it didn't stop the owners from using this girl's misery for their own gain. Now, verse 16 literally says this. It says, the slave girl had a spirit of Python. Now, it would mean nothing to translate spirit of Python, but that's what it actually means. The spirit of Python is what this girl had. It was part of a Greek legend where the serpent god was said to reveal the future. And according to the legend, a girl was put into a trance through the vapours that emitted in the python's cave. And once in the trance, she would speak gibberish and a priestess would write down what the translation was in a poem. And for a very hefty price, you would get a poem, a cryptic poem, that you would have to make sense of. And many of these poems exist today. Hundreds of them exist today. And then the message is given to this seeker who tried to make some sense of it. Well, there was a long wait for this oracle. In fact, you could wait for over a year to get in. And so a franchise opened up, believe it or not. People who claimed to speak on behalf of this Python god. Kings and rulers and senators and wealthy people would come to this oracle and ask questions about marriage and sickness and inheritance and life and death. And there was a real desperation for people to know what's in store for them. And so this oracle was so busy that many people took up this franchise. Now today we're reminded, as you and I come here this morning, we're reminded of the incredible privilege that you and I have as followers of Jesus For God has pulled away the curtain and revealed his will to us. If you have the scriptures, you have God's will. In John 15, Jesus says to his disciples, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I now call you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. See, many struggle to make sense of life, to understand the tragedies that happen to them. And Jesus comes and he reveals that to us. Sadly, there are only a handful of women who were gathered to worship God by the river. And yet, as you read this passage, many, many people flocked to this slave girl to hear this Python God tell their future. And the owners made a mint. Every time the Apostle Paul and the companions passed by this slave girl, she would shout, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they are telling you the way to be saved. Over and over and over again. This demon-possessed girl recognized Paul and the messengers as being from God with a message of salvation. How often is this tragedy repeated in our day, today, as people overlook the message of forgiveness and hope and power that God gives and still flock to the things of this world, which are useless and empty? To the owners, the slave girl was a money-making machine, raking in the cash. To the townsfolk, this girl spoke on behalf of the great Python God, and for a fee, they can find out all sorts of answers to their questions. But to the Apostle Paul, this is a tragedy. A tragedy both for the slave girl and for the residents who look to her for some message and ignore the message of salvation. When King Saul rejected God and the Lord took away his spirit from him, Saul was lost and confused. Later, when the prophet Samuel died, Saul was bereft of the last light of wisdom. And since he'd rejected God and refused to repent, King Saul turned to witchcraft. He was determined to find out the answers to his question. God wasn't speaking to him. Samuel was gone, and he turned to witchcraft, only to be told that by rejecting God, God has become his enemy, and God would take away his kingdom. You see, it is completely understandable for those in the world who are lost and confused to try to get a glimpse of the future or to obtain some hope. It makes perfect sense. But it is tragic for those who possess the truth of God and yet who ignore it and still look around to the things of this world to make sense. What a terrible trade we make. What a hefty price we pay when we trade the light of the gospel for the darkness of the world just because it resonates with us. Now, to be honest, friends, we know the commands of God do not fit with our agenda. The things that God wants me to do are not natural to my nature. My desires do not gel with God's desires, but they gel with the world's desires. And so we oscillate. We oscillate between two. We doubt God's goodness. We doubt God's power. We look to God and we look to the world. Back and forward we go. Air Crash Investigators is a show you should never watch before you travel on air. I knew that last time. In one of the episodes, a plane narrowly averted disaster. This airliner had been flying quite nicely, and then it began to experience all kinds of strange problems. At one point, it gyrated and then plummeted 1,000 feet before turning left and turning right violently. Two of the four engines stalled, leaving the plane without power to maintain level flight. The pilot and co-pilot responded instinctively, doing their best to right the aircraft. Hundreds of people waited in terror to find out whether they would live or die. Mysteriously, the engines restarted and there was sufficient power, and the pilots were able to direct the plane to a nearby airport and land safely. Only a handful of passengers were injured. However, the investigators found that almost everything that went wrong was due to the pilots. When the plane hit turbulence, the pilots should have responded according to their training and according to the instruments. But instead, they acted instinctively. The pilot actually swung the plane left and right, trying to counter what he thought was where the plane was at. And the excessive veering was due to them not looking to the instruments. The engine stalled because of their actions, and thankfully restarted in time to make the plane able to land. You see, the pilots were blinded by the stress of the situation. They ignored what they'd learned. They ignored the instruments, and they reacted instinctively. There are many people who, in the turbulent times of life, second-guess themselves and then react. It's the rocky patches that get people to stop relying on their God-given instruments and instead react to their basic instincts. It's a danger. A problem occurs and you freak out and you do what comes naturally instead of going, hang on a minute, what would God want me to do? And there are people who go from problem to problem, as the pilots did, wondering why all these difficulties are happening to them. So we have a tendency to shift our focus from God to ourselves in turbulent times. In Philippi, people were willing to pay big dollars to hear from this Python God. And yet when this slave girl freely informed them that he were the servants of the Most High God who had the message of salvation, she was ignored, because they're not interested in salvation. They're interested in health and wealth and happiness. A few years back, when we did a survey with the teenagers at the Philippine school, one of the questions we asked was, if you could ask God one thing, what would it be? Incredibly, there wasn't a single question on salvation. Most of them were about making money, getting over sickness, or how do I find a good paying job. That was the basis of their request. If God was there, they're the questions they would ask. Day after day, says verse 18, this girl kept shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God. They are telling you the way to be saved, but there was no interest. If she yelled out, these men know the way to riches and health, they would flock. If she yelled out, these men know how you can have your heart's desire, they would go to her. But salvation? So verse 18, it says that Paul was grieved to see the situation. Not only was this girl abused by her slave owners, she was always tormented by the evil spirit. And yet, Paul knew, as you and I know, this girl was created in God's image to be loved and cherished and treated with dignity. Only Jesus could truly grieve at the fallenness of man. For only he could see what we were meant to be and how far we have fallen. And as Paul looked at this poor girl, he was troubled. Mankind was created with great honour and dignity, to be highly esteemed. But because of sin, he's brought so low that he's indistinguishable from the animals, having long forgotten about his heavenly origin. I wonder if we realise, if you and I realise today, the vast difference between our status in Christ and what this world has to offer. I wonder if we understand the value and worth that God has placed on you, on people who trust in him. A value that is so high, the Bible says, that Jesus would come and give his life, even to those who are rejecting and mocking him. Nobody who sees himself with the value that God has given to them in Christ will continue to seek the approval of this world. No one who sees herself in the eyes of Christ would hunger and thirst for the things that this world has to offer. No one who knows the incredible love of the Saviour would continue to seek the love of what this world gives. It is rubbish. From now on, says Paul in Corinthians, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though once we regarded Christ that way, we do so no longer. The apostle was so grieved at this girl's situation, he turned to the girl and said to the demon, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. Immediately, the spirit left. There's no battle. There's no fuss. There's no challenge. In the name of Jesus, all demons flee. But this brought no thanks from the girl's owners. It brought no thanks from the inhabitants of the city. No one came to pat him on the back. The owners have lost the goose that lays the golden egg. The people had lost their fortune teller. Do not think the world will thank you for holding out the word of life. When the owners of the slave girl realized their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. And what was the accusation? These people are bringing to us customs which are foreign to us. Is that really the case? This is Philippi. It's a melting pot of, in Macedonia, Greeks and Romans and Jews and people from all over the nations. And they're not used to unusual customs. That's not it. That's an excuse. When a young US governor was wondering why people would seek power over justice, an old senator said to him, it's all about money. It's all about money. When a new FBI agent was gobsmacked that one of their own members had sold secrets to foreign powers, the investigator told the shocked agent, you know, in the end, it's all about money, don't you? It's all about money. It seems that behind a lot of motives is what the Apostle Paul says later on, that the root of all evil is the love of money. Here it's the love of money that finds Paul and Silas beaten and thrown in prison for delivering this girl from bondage. We can see through the hypocrisy. Just as when people say, well, I don't really find enough evidence for the Christian faith. That's why I don't believe in God. When their actual reason is more like, I want to live my own way. And I don't want anyone to tell me how to live my life. It has nothing to do with evidence. It's got to do with your personal freedoms. Likewise, the owner's complaints has nothing to do with customs and everything to do with money. And so Paul and Silas end up in prison. But as we saw last week, they realise that everything that happens is under God's control. We will find them next week singing and praying and praising God in stocks. You see, they've just seen Lydia put her faith in the Lord Jesus, both her and her household. They've been sharing the gospel with the people at Philippi. They've just seen this demon-possessed girl with the demon exorcised and brought back to the way she ought to be. What a privilege you and I have today. We have this message from the Most High God, a message that seems foolishness to the world because the world only values health and wealth and prosperity. This is a message that points to eternal life. It informs us That we now have access to the Father through Jesus, unlike the oracle at Delphi. We don't have to wait for months or years to hear some cryptic message. We don't have to pay a hefty price for the privilege of knowing what only God can tell you. Jesus already paid the price. We don't have to attend seminars from some modern guru who claims to be in contact with some magical or mystical person. We have direct access to the throne of grace, opened up by the Lord Jesus, who by his death tore that curtain in two that used to separate man from God. And the question remains, though, for us today, do we make use of that access to the Father, praying for ourselves, for our family, and for others? Do we make use of God's word, which the psalmist describes as a lamp for our feet and a light to our path? People flocked to this slave girl in the hope of getting a crumb. And she had nothing to give. All she could do was to point to those who brought salvation from the Most High God. Where is our focus today? Are we flying by the seat of our pants or by God's unchanging word? He's already spoken. He's given his light. Do we trade what Christ has died to achieve for the crumbs of what this world can offer? Esau traded his spiritual birthright for a pot of stew. What do we trade? There's a lady who won a competition in the UK, which meant that she was allowed to go through a department store and she could take whatever she can fit in her trolley in 60 seconds. The lady, a frequent shopper, knew exactly what was on the shelf of every shelf. She knew that once the whistle blew, she wouldn't go to the cheap stuff. She was going to go straight to where she knew were the expensive items. In the history of the competition, the least valuable trolley was $68, where the winner had gone through one aisle and just piled everything she could find until the trolley was overloaded. The most expensive trolley was $1,800, as that person went straight to the electronics section and loaded all the expensive items. What would you do? Where would you start? God has given us 70, 80, some people 90 years in this life. And there are some who will fritter their time on useless things, oblivious to the fact that God has created us to be stewards of his possessions. Others will simply take what comes their way. But there are some who know the true value of things, and they reject the meaningless stuff of this world, what Solomon calls vanity. Instead, they fill their lives with things which will last into eternity. They discriminate well. They choose well. This makes us look very foolish when people look into your shopping trolley and see what you've got. The things that we choose to put in our trolley seems foolish to the world. You've given up fame, given up glory, you've given up worldly praise. Some have given up a career, some have given up a high-paying job. It certainly made Paul and Silas look odd to the residents of Philippi. But in the end, it wasn't Paul who was seeking the fortune teller. He'd found the source of life from the Most High God. The Apostle Paul had already given up everything the world had offered him. He had a PhD. He had fame, he had glory. And he says, now I consider everything as garbage in comparison to knowing Christ. Do we appreciate the privilege that we have in Christ, who no longer calls us servants but friends and reveals to us his will? In a lost and confused world where people are constantly trying to find some hope, Jesus comes and offers us a relationship with him. He's forgiven us our sins in Christ. He secured our future on the cross. And today he calls us to represent him, to declare his glory and his grace by the way we live. I pray that we may recognise our dignity, our true value as sons and daughters of Christ, and to guard that gift and not to trade it for anything. It is of infinite value. May your lives and mine be salt and light as we reflect the glory of a dying world and showing the glory of Christ as we hold up the word of life. Let us pray. Father, what a shock it may be.